Well, hello and Merry Christmas, everyone. Look at us. Christmas Day. What a day. And you included me. I am so honored. I know some of you are listening back later, but I'm still honored. And for those of you who are on your own for Christmas, so glad I can join you. So for right now, we have each other. We have many thousands of friends listening all over the world together. And most importantly, we have God with us. And thanks for keeping me company. Well, as tradition goes, December 25th is Christmas Day, which is actually not part of Advent. Advent is the lead-up. And by tradition, today is day one of the 12 days of Christmas. Yes, there is more to that story than a pear tree and a wide array of flying and or dancing gifts. Now, traditions vary, and I know most of us will not be playing Christmas music after New Year's. That's okay. Traditions change. There's also no candle today, but we do have a story. Now, tradition-wise, this story would normally be told on January 6th, the 12th day of Christmas. But I think our nativity set wise men have been wandering the living room long enough. It's time for their story to be told. Now, our story today is in Matthew 2, which means that Peyton will be guiding us once again. But before I go, I'd like to read a passage for you from Isaiah 9. It's a prophecy, 6 centuries before Jesus' time. You'll recognize the end of it, but I want to read it to you in context. The prophecy is about Jesus, about his full purpose. It speaks of an end to oppression, an end to war, and the arrival of peace. I read it to remind us that Jesus' purpose on earth isn't done. He's still working, and he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. So here is Isaiah 9 at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood, will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. I love that prophecy. So one more time, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of Christmas, and we remember this day that your purpose in Christ is still at work, and we trust that you will complete your good work in us. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Now, before Peyton starts, I want to acknowledge that Peyton and I pronounce Magi differently. I don't know which one of us is right, but I'm acknowledging. Peyton lived in Wales, UK, so this stuff happens. Isaiah, Isaiah, potato, patata. No need to email us, we're on it. Now time for Peyton.
Welcome back to Matthew's Gospel, Chapter 2 today, and it's feeling a bit like Christmas in here. And I don't mean like those old ladies that decorate too early and take down their Christmas decorations too late. I mean, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus today. It was Ebenezer Scrooge who said, "I shall honor the spirit of Christmas in my heart, and I aim to keep it all year." And that's the spirit. But before we're done with this chapter, I'm afraid you're going to think me a bit of a Grinch. Matthew tells us the Christmas story as it happens, not as it sells Hallmark cards and nativity sets. Let's jump right in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Okay, who are these Magi? They were astrologers, men who studied the stars, most likely from Babylon or Persia. We're never told there were three or that they were kings, but these men were wealthy, as we learn from their gifts. But the mysterious thing about them is they report seeing his star. What do they mean by his star? Well, way back in the book of Numbers, as the children of Israel were traveling through pagan lands, there was a man named Balaam, a prophet from the east, who is paid to curse the Israelites as they pass through the land. But he finds it impossible. Every time he tries to pronounce a curse on them, God puts a blessing in his mouth. And his very last one is a doozy. Here's what he says. The oracle of the one who hears the word of God. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He prophesied that a star would come announcing the king of Israel. But then, flash forward over 1,000 years, Daniel is taken to Babylon, the very place, the region where Balaam was from when he made this star prophecy. And there Daniel prophesies of Jesus as well to the wise men that he was a part of. And maybe, just maybe, the Magi from the east came from that tradition. And this story, by the way, is unique to Matthew, because despite his writing for a Jewish audience, Matthew is determined to tell them that their Jewish Messiah was also the Savior of the world. The King of Israel? The King of Heaven? That sounds like good news, unless you're sitting on the throne of Israel pretending to be a Jewish king. And that is exactly what Herod was, an imposter. He'd been put into power by the Romans and given the title King of the Jews. The problem was, he wasn't a Jew. He was an Edomian, or Edomite, descended from Esau, verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. Herod isn't just a phony. He's also a big fat liar. He's also a murderer. He intends to pay this child a visit and pay his respects to him with a gift of a clubbing to the head. Verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Okay, wait. I'm sorry. My heart must be two sizes too small, because I'm about to go full Grinch on your assumptions here. Jesus is a child here, not a baby, and they're in a house. So this doesn't happen while Jesus is in the manger. Nope. In fact, we'll see it was probably about 2 years after Jesus was born. Remember when Herod wanted to know the exact time the star appeared? It probably took them time to get ready and complete that journey. But note, the wise men didn't bow to him as a king. It says they bowed down and worshipped him. This must have been awkward to this young teenage couple to be sought out, to have their baby worshipped by important men, and then to have him showered with wealth and gold because he was a king, frankincense, which was used in worship because he was God, and myrrh, an expensive burial spice, because Jesus was born to die for us.
And that's it for our Advent plan, everyone. We have been so honored to walk with you through Jesus' story and to spend these important days with you. Thanks for making us part of it. And with New Year approaching, I want to invite you to join us for another journey. Through the Word has audio guides through every book and every chapter in the Bible. If you liked this one, New Year's is a fantastic time to start a new Bible habit and to invite some friends to join you. If you're listening on YouVersion, check out our partner page to find all our plans and suggestions for what's new. If you're on the Through the Word app, check our news and updates for our New Year's plan. You can listen to Peyton through the whole book of Matthew, or pick your own plan and make God with you a part of your new year every day. Merry Christmas, everyone. I'll see you on the journey.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.